Hey, good morning, and welcome to Lighthouse Community. My name is Fritz Bielo. I'm the pastor here at Lighthouse, and really glad every one of you have joined us. If you brought your Bible, here's what I want to ask you to do. Go ahead and open up to John chapter 17. We're going to be in John chapter 17, so it's the fourth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So go ahead and go to John chapter 17. Once you find John chapter 17, I also want you to just put a mark into Luke chapter 6. So John 17 is where we're going to spend most of our time, but then we're also going to go take a look at Luke chapter 6 as well. Now, here's where we're at. Today, at the end of today's message, here's what we're going to do. Here's where we're going to go. I'm going to invite you to pray. I'm just going to tell you right now. At the end of today's message, I'm going to invite you to pray. And you can pray about anything. It can be about anything that you want to pray about, but I'm going to invite you to get out of your seat, and I'm going to invite you to come forward and to pray at the end of today's service. Now, I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to make you do that, but I'm going to invite you because I don't want you to miss out on what God can do in your life today. And so that's what's happening, and that's where we're going. And so you can probably surmise by now that today we're going to be talking about prayer. And that's the direction we're going. And specifically, we're going to look at one of Jesus' prayers, often referred to as the high priestly prayer, if you've heard that referred to before. And what's happening is Christ is coming to the end of his life here on earth, end of his ministry here on earth, and we get this inside look at how Jesus talked with the Father. This is really what this is. And so what I want to do is I want to share with you today three, what I'm calling revealings, or you could even call them revelations if you want to use that term, but three revealings about Jesus that we learn from his prayer. And so we're going to be in John chapter 17, and there's actually about 40 verses in the Gospels that specifically refer to Jesus praying or things of, along those lines, and John chapter 17 is one of those. And so if you brought your Bibles, we're in John chapter 17, verse 1. You can bring it up on your phone or whatever. If you didn't bring one, don't worry too much. We'll have the verses on the screen behind me, but I'm going to read John chapter 17, starting in verse 1, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It says this: "When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I've guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Now, in the amazing depth of Jesus' prayer. And you go, well, Fritz, wait a second, you just stopped like right in the middle of Jesus' prayer. There's like more going on. Well, next week, that's why there's a part two next week, because we got to do the rest of it, right? So hang with me. Next Sunday, we'll finish it up. But we're going to stop right there at verse 12. But in the amazing depth of Jesus' prayer, it's really easy for us to get caught up in the details of what Jesus is saying and miss the obvious in-your-face fact, the first revealing that I want to bring out for you this morning. Here's the first revealing that we need to grasp. It's this. Jesus prayed. Like that big shocker, right? But no, like we have to get that. We have to understand that Jesus actually spent time praying. This was a part of his life. This is who he was. He spent time praying. And it's obvious that he's praying because right there in verse 9, he says, I am praying for them. So he gives us the clue right off the get-go. But prayer was so central to the life of Christ, right? It wasn't just something that he did or was like, well, you know, you do this when you get up in the morning or before you eat because that's what it's socially acceptable to pray. Like, no. Like, Christ was sourced in prayer. And we see this throughout the Gospels, right? Like Matthew 1:35, and rising very early in the morning while it was dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And so he's getting out, getting away by himself, where it's just him and the Father, and he can spend time praying. Again, in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, but he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. And so Jesus, and there's scripture after scripture within the Gospels that show us that Jesus was regularly in conversation with the Father. And in John chapter 17, we get a little bit of a glimpse of how Jesus prayed. But I think sometimes for me, like that just passes by me for a moment, that Christ spent much of his time here on earth in prayer. Right? Think about that. The Son of God prayed. Maybe there's something in there for us too. So that's the first revealing, is that Jesus prayed. Here's the second revealing. The second revealing really comes out of the historical context. We discover what Jesus' posture for prayer is. And so that's kind of the second revealing, this posture of prayer. If you look in verse 1, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And so in Jesus' time, for the most part, most Jews, they prayed this way. Right? The way they prayed was eyes up, face lifted towards heaven, hands raised, and praying out loud in a very loud voice so that they could be heard. That's the common way that most Jews would pray, right? We see this in Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, when Jesus feeds the 5,000. It says he lifted his eyes to heaven and he begins to pray the blessing. In Mark chapter 7, verse 34, he heals this deaf man. Before doing so, he lifts his eyes to heaven and he prays out loud for this healing. In John chapter 11, verse 41, we just talked about the raising of Lazarus, right? If you remember, when he gets time to pray for Lazarus, what does he do? He lifts his eyes to heaven and he speaks loudly this prayer over Lazarus, resurrecting him from the dead. And so in Jesus' time, and for Jesus, it's very common for him to pray in this fashion right here, right? Think about that. Even in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, Paul, who's the apostle, kind of launching all these churches all around the Mediterranean area, he instructs this other young pastor by the name of Timothy. He says, Timothy, when you worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted high. Right? This was common. This was a common way for people to pray right here. Right? Now, that is very different from the way that you and I pray for the most part, right? How do we pray? They would pray, eyes up, face towards heaven, hands up, loud voice. We pray, head bowed, eyes closed, hands together, very quietly, to myself even, and that's it. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. That's not at all. What I'm saying is there are different postures for prayer, and maybe every prayer you pray is not this one. Maybe that's not the best posture for ever. We see in the scriptures, there are some who kneel, and they, you know, Solomon kneels and he puts his hands up and he prays. We see while one Pharisee is doing the typical prayer, we have a tax collector who in humility refuses to look up towards heaven, right? And he prays. We see others who lay prostrate on the ground, and they pray and they worship God from that place, right? And so there's different postures of prayer, and there's many ways to pray. But we see many times Jesus is doing this. This is how he prayed. And that was what he did. And he does pray. Why? Because he's got a perfect relationship with the Father, right? Like him and the Father, like they communicate, they're talking, they're constantly with one another. I mean, just an amazing, wonderful relationship. But he prayed. We know that. We don't wonder about that. We know that he prayed. And in all the different positions there are to pray, hands raised, head up, heads bowed, hands together, laying down on the floor, kneeling, whatever it may be, in all the different times of the day to pray, right? In the morning, during lunch, in the afternoon, before you go to bed, whatever it is, in all the different ways and in all the different times of the day to pray, there's one thing that seems to run consistent no matter the prayer and no matter the prayer. And I'm going to share with you the third revealing here in just a moment. But to get there, we actually have to go to Luke chapter 6 so that we'll really understand and appreciate what's taking place here. So if I asked you to put a mark in Luke 6, and let's go there very quickly. Luke chapter 6, Jesus is talking, right? And he's doing this teaching. And this is actually falls in line with Matthew, what we've labeled the Sermon on the Mount. This is where Luke records it as well. But in Luke chapter 6, Jesus begins to teach, and in his teaching, he says, you know, good trees don't bear bad fruit, and bad trees don't bear good fruit. And then it goes on to talk about that you can't get figs from thorn bushes, and you also can't get grapes from a bramble bush. And so he kind of setting up all these contrasts that, you know, you can't get good things from bad things, and you can't get bad things from good things, because it's just in their nature and it's how they're created. And then you get to Luke chapter 6, verse 45, and he says this: a good man brings good things out of the good stored in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. And what I'd like to do is read this last sentence together, beginning with, "For the mouth speaks." So let's read this out loud together. Are you ready? Go. "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. This is so important to grasp and understand. Now, do we agree in this room here this morning that Jesus is God? Is that a fair theological? Okay, yes. By the way, if you're wondering, that's true and that's right. Like, Jesus is God. It's not, yeah, maybe. No, he is. Jesus is God. It's kind of a trick question. I apologize for that. So, yes, Jesus is God. Would we agree in this room that Jesus is man? Yes, okay, yep, yeah, not your question. That's true too. So you have within the scriptures, you have within Christ, this unique person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is fully God, and he is fully man. And so everything about God is true about Jesus, and everything about man is true about Jesus. And so Jesus dealt with all the frailties of flesh and all these types of things. He dealt with temptation, but the interesting thing is he never fell short. Right? He lived an absolutely blameless, perfect life before the Lord. And so that's what sets him apart from you and I. That's why he's really different. It has to do with the fact that he's 100% God and 100% man, but he lived this amazingly perfect life. But Jesus is a man, and you can't deny that. And so when Jesus was praying, he was speaking. And we see that because John is recording his words in John chapter 17. He's speaking out loud. And the words that his mouth spoke came from what was in his heart. Because the mouth speaks what is in the heart. Other verses say that from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so here's the third revealing that we get from John chapter 17. You have to grab that. You have to understand this. The third revealing is Jesus' heart. Jesus' prayer reveals Jesus' heart. Right? Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so Jesus is speaking these prayers to the Father with his mouth, but they find origin in the heart. What do we discover when we look at the words of Jesus' prayer? Here's the first thing we discover, which is in Jesus' heart. First and most is God's glory. Let me say that again. First and most is God's glory. That's a priority for Jesus Christ. Right out of the gate, in John chapter 17, when he begins to pray, Jesus says, Father, glorify the Son, and the Son will glorify you. People will know that you're the only true God, that there are no other gods before you, there are no other gods beside you. Those ones are fake, they're false, they're not real, they're not legit. God, I glorified you with my life on earth, and I have done everything you've asked me to do. Right? This is what Jesus is praying in verses 1 through 8. He's just talking about like the glory of God and that God would be glorified and God would be seen as the one true God above any other. And so Jesus made sure that in everything he did, God would receive the glory. His greatest concern was God's glory. His greatest concern was that people would see God for who he really is. And you see that throughout the Gospels, right? We see that in John. For the Son only does that which he sees the Father doing. The Son only says that which he hears the Father saying. The Son does nothing on his own except that which the Father tells him to do. Right? We see Jesus is saying these things over and over again, like making the point, like this is about him, right? This is about him and his life. And so Jesus came so that the entire world would know who God, the only true God, really is, for who he is. Why? Why would he do that? Because he loves the Father. The Son loves the Father deeply, ways that you and I will never fully grasp and ever fully understand. He loves the Father, and he wants to honor him in every moment and in every situation. And so when we look at the prayer of Jesus, we see that in his heart is a deep love for the Father, that he would be glorified in every moment of his life. Well, Jesus' words in prayer revealed something else that was in his heart. Love for his disciples and his followers, right? You see that. He says right there in verse 6, I have made known your name. He's talking to God, praying to God. I have made known your name to the people you gave me, right? So who's he referring to? He's referring to his disciples. He's referring to other believers. He's referring to followers, right? Those you gave to me. Right, I have shared, I've displayed your name. I've made known your name. And they believe God, like they believe everything. They know who I am. They know I'm your Son. They know you're God. Like they get it. And then in verse 9, he says, I'm praying for them. I pray for them specifically. I pray for them on purpose. And do you see what he prays for? He prays for in verse 11. He says, I'm no longer in the world, but they are. And I'm coming to you. And then he says this, Holy Father, keep them in your name. Now this word keep is the same keep that you see like in John chapter 14 and John chapter 15 when Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Anyone who keeps my commandments will love me. And so this idea of keep is that it would be maintained. Anybody who maintains my commandments, anybody who lives out my commandments, anybody who guards my commandments and lives them out with integrity loves me, right? That's John 14, John 15, and Jesus uses that exact same word keep right here in John 17, verse 11. So he's saying, God, I want you to maintain them. I want you to guard them. I think the NIV, the New International Version, actually got the word really well on this one. It says, I want you to protect them. I pray that you would protect them. Right? Right? Why? Because we protect those we love most. Right? We protect those we love most. It's the reason that we lock our doors at night after everybody's in the house. Right? Some of you are locking the doors before everybody's in the house, okay? Those are called teenagers and parents, they're tired of waiting up for you, all right? But so you have to use the window. But anyways, that's why most of us lock the doors after everyone's in the house. It's why we leave the van in park until all the kids have their seatbelts on, right? We want to protect those we love the most. It's the reason that we say we're sorry and we ask for forgiveness when we hurt somebody. Because we protect those we love most. And so Jesus prays protection for his disciples. And you're an extension of that. If you're a believer and you're a disciple of Christ today, he prays for your protection because he loves you deeply. And so from Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, we get a revealing, a sneak peek at the heart of Christ. It's almost like, well, if you hadn't caught it the previous 17 chapters or 16 chapters, let's make it really clear that Jesus loves God more than anyone, and he loves his people. It's just clear, and it's blatant, and it's screaming out. And so we get to that moment, right? We're getting to a 3 a.m. moment here. Right? And so as you are new to Lighthouse, if I'm up at 3 a.m. thinking about something, then that means I'm sharing that question with you, and now you are up at 3 a.m. thinking about this question as well. I'm not staying up by myself at night, so you all can join me tonight at 3 a.m. Here's the question, right? That if Jesus' prayer reveals Jesus' heart, so you know where I'm going, right? Then your prayer reveals your heart. And my prayers reveal my heart. Right? Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What do you find yourself praying for first and most? What do you find yourself praying for first and most in your life? Do you pray first and most for health? Do you pray first and most for money? Do you pray first and most for a job? Do you pray first and most for relationships, or maybe for yourself? Or maybe you pray first and most for others, or the government, or our city? Or maybe you pray first and most for our country? Here's the reality. What we pray first and most for reveals our heart. Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you pray regularly about health, well, then there's most likely that health is your priority. Right? If you pray first and most about money, then money is probably your priority. If you pray first and most about problems, then problems are probably your priority. If you pray first and most about sin, then sin is... You see where I'm going with this. And you go, well, that's fine, Fritz, because that's great, because I don't pray. So, like, you know, I'm good. I just don't even pray. So, that, you know, what does that say? Well, that lack of prayer reveals your heart too, right? Like, if I'm not praying, that reveals something about me as well. So if I don't pray, what that reveals is one of two things. Is one, I think I don't need God. Because I'm smart enough. I'm wealthy enough. I'm strong enough. I'm clever enough. I don't really need him. I got this one. God, go help somebody who needs help. I got it. That may be one thing. Or maybe here's another thing that may lack of prayer in your life may reveal, right? Prayer's not effective. Prayer doesn't work. I can pray whatever and it doesn't matter because God's not going to do anything anyways. He's got his plan, he's got his will, and whatever. And so, one, either I don't need him, or two, prayer's not effective and he's not listening anyways. Here's the issue with that, is because prayer at its core, when you like strip everything away, right? When you strip away the postures and you strip away the time of day and you strip away whether you use really deep theological language or really plain language or whether you use the Queen's English or whether, you know, whatever it is, when you strip all that stuff away, whether hands up and eyes up or hand down and hands together, like whatever it is, when you strip all that away, prayer at its core is a constant reminder, I need God. That's what prayer is. And we see from the life of Christ that he regularly got away to be with his Father. Why? Because he said, I need this relationship. I need this relationship with the Father. Because the Son only does that which the Father says. The Son only says that which he hears the Father speak. The Son does nothing on his own authority, but only that which the Father tells him to do. And if I don't have this relationship, it's a constant reminder that I need God. He's my creator and he's my sustainer, right? He doesn't just create me and send me off into motion and say, good luck. He walks with me. And if I will look to him, he will guide me and source me and lead me in every single situation. This is why Jesus prayed so often. He lived sourced and guided by the Father constantly. He lived a life of dependence on the Father. Why? Because he knew the Father. I know who he is and he's good. I know who he is and he's right. I know the Father. And if you knew the Father, you'd want to be around him too. This is what Jesus is essentially saying. And we see just relationships dripping all over this prayer in John chapter 17, right? We see the Son's relationship with the Father. We see the Father's relationship with the Son. We see Jesus' relationship with the disciples. We see the disciples' relationship with the disciples. And all that's wrapped up together in there. And it's all based on knowing one another. The Son knows the Father. The Father knows the Son. Jesus knows the disciples. Disciples know one another, right? There's all this knowing happening and taking place. Just this past Monday, I came home from work and I made Christina a caramel latte. So I got home. We have the coffee ninja. Anybody else have a coffee ninja willing to admit that? Yeah, okay. Oh, all right, thank you. I appreciate that. That hand in the back. I'll see you after service. We'll talk about it, how great it is. But so this coffee ninja, right? We've got this coffee ninja, and we've got this thing. And so I make Christina this, Starbucks coffee. She loves the breakfast blend. And so I make her this product, breakfast blend Starbucks coffee. And then the coffee ninja's got this little arm that comes out and this whisker thing. It's a frother, right? So you put your milk in there, and it like spins real fast, and it makes the milk all frothy. And I don't even know what that means. But it froths it up. So I put the milk in there, and I froth the milk, and I put this salted caramel creamer in with the milk, and I froth that all up, and it's just frothing up beautifully. And then I pour the Starbucks coffee into the frothed milk and salted caramel creamer, and I put that all together, and it looks really cool. So then I take some caramel sauce and I drizzle it on the top of the cup, right? Like, I should open up a store. Like, this is wrong. All I need is me and a coffee ninja, and we can do this thing, right? And so I make this thing and I bring it to her. And she never asked for it, right? She's like, hey, could you make, like, I just made it for her. Why? Because I know my wife. I know Christina. I know what she likes. She never asked for that. But I made it for her because I know my wife. I know that she loves coffee, food, and affection. And so all I need to do is give her a black cup of coffee, a McDouble, and a hug, and she's good for like 3 days, man, right? Like, we're good to go. I know her, right? I know Christina. I know my wife because we've been together for so long and we've been, you know, sharing our lives with one another and doing all those different types of things. And I want to tell you that our prayers will drastically change when we know God. Your prayers will be drastically different when you know the Father. I don't mean you know Christian culture. That's different. I'm talking about when you know the Father. When you know his character, and you know his desires, and you know his plan, and you know his will, and you know who he is. And I just wonder sometimes, if we could only know God, if we could only know him, if there was a way that we could know God, if there was just some way that he would like tell us about himself, if there was a way that like he would, I don't know, like I like lead some people by his Holy Spirit to record his words, and then we would have like this record of his words all the time, and whenever we wanted to, we could go to this record of these words that would reveal who God is and how awesome and amazing and what his character's like and what he's done in the past and what he's done, his plans are for the future. If there was just this record of who he is, then maybe I would know him better. God, that's all I'm asking for, is this record of your words so that I can know you. Oh, yeah. It's called the Scriptures. We don't read the Bible because it's the right thing to do. We read the Scriptures because we learn who our Father is. We read the Scriptures because we discover his character and what he loves and what he doesn't love and what his plans are and what his will is. And I know for some of you here this morning, you read this because you were told to read this and you read it out of obligation. And I will say this, any time spent in the Word is ever wasted. But time spent in the Word where you're learning who your Father is and he's speaking to you today through it will change your life. What do your prayers reveal to you about your heart? If you do not pray at all, you need a heart transformation. That's just the plain truth of it. If you do not pray at all, you need a heart transformation. If you pray first and most for things and stuff, you need a heart transformation. If you pray first, most, and only for yourself, you need a heart transformation, right? Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so you don't need better prayer words. You need a new heart. And this is what Christ is in the business of. You can ask him to transform your heart, and he will. Because you may not know this, but following Christ is about becoming more and more into the image of Christ. That we would look more like him today than we did yesterday. And we would look more like him tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow, than we do today. That every day we are coming more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. This is what he's called us to do. And if we're becoming more like Christ, then I imagine that our prayers will look a little bit more like Christ's. That my first and most largest priority is God's glory. Right? that my prayer is that in every situation and in every challenge that God would be glorified and my life would point to Him. That when I'm in the facing the loss of my job, that God would be glorified through that. That my first prayer isn't, God, give me a new job so nothing falls apart, but God, would you be glorified through this? That when my marriage is facing challenges, it's not, God, get us out of this, everything's great, and we look perfect in front of other people, but no, God, would you grow us, and would you be glorified through this season of challenge in our lives right now? That when we face trials and challenges and situations, our lives would continue to point to the Father. Because there's a broken world that needs to see this is true, right? It's not just good to follow Christ when life is good and life is great. Anybody can do that. But it's when life gets hard and the enemy's fighting against you and things are crumbling all around you and you can still say to God be the glory. That'll mess with people in a good way. That'll change some lives, man. May our prayers reveal that our hearts are ever more in love with Christ. And may we be ever committed to the glory of God. I want to share something very quickly with you. We're going to close here. It's this. Is that in John chapter 17, Jesus is nearing the end of his life. He's nearing the end of his life. He's hours away from being killed. And he knows this. All right, this is not catching him off guard. He knows he's hours away from being killed, from being, you know, put to death on a cross. And how did Jesus choose to spend his time? He's praying, right? He's praying. He's hours away from dying, and he's praying. If you knew you had hours left to live, what would you do? If you had just hours, you knew, like at 6 o'clock today, my life is over as I know it. What would you do for the next 6 hours? Would you pray that God would be in you? Would you pray that God would be glorified in you as best he can over the next 6 hours? Would you pray and ask for the opportunity to share the most important words you have to say with the people that you love most? What would you do? We believe in prayer so much at Lighthouse Community that one of our leaders has actually launched a prayer team, right? So God was speaking to her, and she came to me and she says, I think Lighthouse needs a prayer team. I was like, yes, like we should totally do that. That's a fantastic, why didn't I think of that? And so it's like, yes, we should totally do that. And so she has met with and she has trained and she's prepared these prayer partners to be available to pray with you on Sunday mornings in our worship service and during our worship times. And so here's what I ask you to do if you're here this morning, and Ashley, your team, if you're a prayer partner, I'm just going to ask you to get up, come up here, and if you'll come up right up here with me, that'll be great. Maybe here in front of these walls there, and there in front of those walls there, that would be great. You just come right on up if you're a prayer partner. So I ask you guys to come up right where you're at. And here's what's going to do. If you're here this morning, if you're looking at me, you can hear me, you're here, right? So if you're here this morning and you want prayer, we have people here to pray with you. So, hey, Dan and Amy, will you come over this side? We'll kind of just level it out. It's about to feel the building leaning a little to the left right now. But we'll come over here. But we have people ready to pray with you. We have people who are going to pray with you, and they're here ready. And so here's what's going to happen. We're going to sing another song. And if you want to pray, then you just slip out of your seat. And you come forward, and you can just come, and you can begin to pray. And you can come and talk to these people ahead of time and say, hey, this is what I want to pray about. Will you pray for me? You can just come up, stand up here and pray, and someone will come and pray with you, whatever it is. But if you want to pray, you just slip out, you come to the front, and you can pray about whatever, right? It doesn't have to be related to the message. Like, it can be about something else that's going on in your life. And I don't mean to say that if you're praying about health, that's a bad thing. And if you're praying about situations in your life, that's a bad thing. That's not what I'm communicating this morning. But you can pray about whatever God is leading you to pray about in your life this morning. You can do that. And here's what I want to tell you this too. Don't ever be embarrassed to want prayer. Don't ever be embarrassed. Go, well, what will people think if I go up there? We'll think you want prayer. That's what we'll think. And you know what? Everyone in here needs prayer. I need prayer. Right? Larry needs prayer. Larry really doesn't need prayer. I spent a lot of time with him. He needs prayer, right? Everybody in here needs prayer. And so the issue is, are you going to go in search for it? And are you going to let the body of Christ pray with you? We all need prayer. So here's how it's going to work. If you want to pray, I'm going to pray for you right now. When I'm done praying, the band is going to start this song. And at any point after that, you just stand up, you slip out of your seat, you come and you pray, and there are people here to pray with you. Okay? And they're trained and they know what they're doing this morning. Okay? So it's not going to be weird or whatever. So let me pray for you, and then you come down and pray yourself. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So if you're here this morning and you want prayer, just come. Come now. Stand up. Come now. You don't have to wait. Yep, there you go. Just come. You come and you pray, and we have people ready to pray with you.